Before we continue in worship and we partake in communion, we're going to spend a little bit of time kind of preparing our hearts from God's word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So you can open your Bible up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you do, I want to let you know about something that's coming up here really soon when we finish the book of Esther. So we will be back in Esther. We'll see what happens. I know we kind of left it on a cliffhanger, you know, the hanging of Haman, the evil, wicked enemy of the story. But we will be back in Esther next week. But after Esther, we're going to spend some Sunday evenings answering questions. And here's what I want you to think about. I'm confident if you attend the church here regularly, you know what the gospel is. You know that we are all sinners separated from God, that we have all fallen, we do not keep God's commandments, and that the wage of sin is death. But that God in his great love sent his only begotten son Jesus for us, and that Jesus lived the life that we could not live, right? A perfect life. But Jesus died the death that we deserve. And that anyone that confesses their sin and believes in Jesus, that he died on the cross paying the penalty of their sins, can be saved. You know, we hear that regularly. That is something that's always proclaimed. It's at the core. It is central to our gatherings. But we struggle at times telling people about it. And I think one of the things at times that prevent us from sharing our faith or sharing the gospel is we are afraid of being asked one or two questions that we don't know the answers to, right? You're like, man, I want to share, but what if they ask me that one question I don't know the answer to? Well, we want to help equip you. And so if there's a question or two or three that you are holding on to that is preventing you from sharing the love of Jesus, there are these really sweet question cards in the back, and I would encourage you, grab one, take one of the pins back there, write your question down, fold it up, and throw it in the little box in the back, and then in the coming weeks, we are going to work through those questions so that you can leave out of here and take that gospel message to the world. You can have that conversation with that person at work or at school or in the neighborhood that you've been afraid of them, you know, asking that question, but to really give you some confidence to share your faith. So question cards are in the back. We're going to spend several weeks kind of collecting them, and then we will work on them. A few things in moments like this, these question cards, I really don't think you're afraid of your friend or somebody asking you, you know, what happened to the donuts for hospitality? Or, you know, what happened to the Tang? We always have kind of those in. There's like these are not like opinion cards. They're just question cards, all right? So take advantage of that. But let's not like give our requests for, you know, hospitality afterwards. Like, you know, can we please get keto-friendly snacks? Or, you know, can we please get a vegan option? Or, you know, can we make the coffee stronger? You know, just talk to Ivan for all those concerns, and we'll do our best to meet those. But do take advantage of the question cards. I'm excited to see your questions. I'm excited to see what God does as we're equipped to share our faith. Sound good? All right, that's enough housekeeping. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look at just one verse in this moment, verse 17. If you're ready to dive into verse 17, can I get a let's do this? Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we come before you, and God, we want to say thank you. Thank you that, Lord, we can gather in here, and we can have this reminder before us, this table that is set as a reminder of what you have done as you gave your only begotten son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what we have as Christians, not by our efforts, not by our good works, not by our church attendance, but Lord, by your grace, by the sacrifice of your Son, by your mercy, by your goodness. And so, Lord, we want to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to start our week off here being right with you, being reminded of what we have in Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. We pray, Lord, that If anyone is in here and they are not right with you, there's sin present in their life, I pray, God, that tonight they would seek forgiveness. I pray tonight as we partake of communion and we hold the cracker that represents the body of your son that was broken, and we hold the cup that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed and the new covenant and the new promises that it gives us, that, Lord, we would examine our lives, that we would express gratitude and thanksgiving and affections of our heart for what you've done for us. And Lord, if we're not right with our fellow brothers and sisters in the house of God, that, God, we would seek forgiveness, that we would seek restoration, and that we would partake of this meal with a pure heart and with clean hands. And so we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your goodness to us. And we ask now that you would be with us and speak to us now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever wanted a new start? I mean, think about it, a time in your life where you made a mistake or something didn't go as planned, and you're like, wait a minute, I need a new start. I just want to start over. Just give me a second. Maybe you have one of those moments being a married couple or being in a relationship. You go and you see your special someone, your hunky husband or your fine-looking lady, right? And the time together just starts off wrong, and you finally stop and go, wait a minute, can we just start over? You know, maybe you have one of those moments as you started to attend some classes at VVC, woo, woo, or, you know, you started a semester and you start a class and the first test didn't go as you had expected, and you go, you know what, I think I'm going to drop the class and start over next semester. There's times with a job, you have a new job and you go, this one's going to be different. I'm going to have a fresh start with this job. I'm actually going to show up on time regularly. You know, I'm going to have a new start with this job. I'm actually going to check the schedule and make sure I'm there when the shift starts. Have you ever wanted a new start? You know, all of us have been in life and we've wanted a new start. We wanted to, like, kind of rewind. We wanted to kind of wash the slate clean. We want to maybe be with a group of people that don't know our past so that we could have a new start. Did you know that as we come to communion, we are reminded as Christians that there is one place where we can be given a new start, and that is in Christ. There is a place or a person in which we can have kind of a redo or a restart. We can have a complete and total renovation being made new. Now, if we come to this verse, we see something in verse 17. It says, therefore, right, if anyone, would you look at that word, anyone? There is this truth here for us because of what Christ has done, what we celebrate at the communion table, that anyone can have a new start, that anyone can be what the text says, a new creation. So if you're in here this evening and you see the table prepared, the cracker and the juice, there is something being declared to you that you can be one of those anyone that can have a new start, that can be a new creation. That the communion table, the work of Jesus on the cross, is so wide and so deep and so great that it is for anyone that would be in Christ. Not a single one of us tonight can sit in here and go, you know what? Yeah, I wish I could have a new start. I wish I could be a new creation. I wish there could be change in my life. But you know what? I'm too far gone. That doesn't fit the text. The declaration is given. Anyone. It does not matter your past. It does not matter your background. It does not matter the amount of your mess ups or your failures or how many times you've gone to God and say, I promise I'm not going to do it again. Just give me one more chance. I'm never going to do it again. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. And then Monday comes and you do it again. No matter how many times you've done that, the text says, anyone. There is a truth that we are reminded of as we come to the communion table, that anyone can be a new creation. That anyone, the work of the cross is so great, so wide, so broad, so mass in its reach, that anyone can be changed. Look at it, though. The text says in verse 17 that anyone, right, who is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ. The reach is broad, anyone, but then we get very narrow and specific that anyone must be in Christ. We come to the table and we understand what it is. What is it to be in Christ? We are reminded, well, what has Christ done for us? He has died for us. We're reminded that we, as was said earlier, we lived a life deserving of death. But Christ came, lived the life we couldn't, a life of perfection, and died the death we deserve. If anyone, so broad but specific, if they're in Christ, if they have come to a recognition of what Christ has done, a recognition of what Christ offers by his grace to those that believe, can be what the text says, a new creation. In Christ, you have, with this meal, you have a new position and a new place. You know that only those that are in the family of God by faith in Christ can partake of this meal. Paul makes it very clear as we come and we remind ourselves, we are mindful of what Christ has done, that this is a family meal for those in Christ. It's only for those that have believed in Jesus. It's only and it's for all that believe in Jesus and that are right with God to partake of. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the appeal is broad, but then it gets specific to those in Christ. And he goes on to say, look at this, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. We're reminded when we come to this table and we hold the cracker and we hold the juice and we partake of the meal, we are reminded that if we are in Christ, something radical has happened. We have been given a completely new start. We have become a new creation. It is totally renovated, totally redone. That the work of the cross in our hearts, in our life, removes all of the sin and all of the destruction, and we literally go from death to life, from darkness to light, from being outcasts to sons and daughters of God, to being in rebellion, to being a part of God's people because of what Jesus has done. This new creation work is not like, you know, some flip this house and they go in and they try to just, you know, clean the carpets a little bit. You know, you might have seen that, right? It's like, we got to hurry up and flip this house. And so they try to shampoo the carpets where there was like 60 cats found in the house. You're like, oh, it's just gross. Too far, Chris. 60 cats? I mean, I would have been okay with 20, but 60 is a bit. It's not like just like, let's shampoo it. Let's throw a little paint on. No, this is literally a work of God where it's as if he bulldozes it all down and makes it all new. Everything is remade and made new in Christ. He goes on to say, look at this. As we partake of this meal, we're reminded, wow, if I'm in Christ, I am a new creation. All has been renewed. All has been recreated. I have been given a fresh start in the Lord. But there's also something else wonderful here in verse 17. The old things have passed away. The old things have passed away. So there's this reminder of God's work. It is made new. He even finishes it in verse 17. All things have become what? New. They've all become new because of what Christ has done, but they've all become new because God has removed all of the old. There's something that is so sweet about this meal and so sweet about what we are reminded of as we worship and we think of Christ's sacrifice, is that there is in Christ, when it comes to God, our past no longer haunts us. Our past no longer haunts us. Think about that. I know of many people whose past has come back to haunt them 5, 6, 10 years later. Right? It's like God's changed you. Something has happened in you and you're living for the Lord, but there was that accident 15 years ago that comes back to haunt you in the mail. Right? There's that mistake that you made, that blunder that you made, but you thought you had handled it, but then somebody knocks on your door and that past comes back to haunt you. those things that you're reminded of each and every month as you're still, you know, paying restitution, as you're still, you know, trying to fulfill your responsibility for something you did way in the past. It's like every month as the withdrawal is made, there is that haunt of your past. There's that haunt of what was old. And you're like, man, I'm new. I'm different. It comes back to you. It's like that creepy thing that seems like it just cannot leave. Do you know what you're reminded of when we come to the table where Jesus died for us, where his body was broken, where his blood was shed, that in Christ, the old things are gone. God does not and will not haunt you with your past. There is this reminder that in the future, in eternity, when we are with the Lord for all of eternity, he has chosen to remember our sins no more. That, yeah, the world may haunt us of our past, but we come tonight as a heavenly people, as citizens of a world that is not this one, but citizens of heaven, and we partake of a meal where we declare we have been made new because God sent his son to die for us. We partake of a meal that in God, the one in whom all creation stands judge and gives account, does not haunt us with our past, but sees us as he sees his son, blameless and perfect. We have this exciting forward look of future when we will one day be with the Lord for all of eternity. And the text says, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. You have no fear of standing before God and God going, I've got a few questions about your past. He stamped it forgiven. And he only has truths and promises about your future. Because your future is with him. And your future is a future of everlasting life. And your future is a future of God's will and God's goodness. And that's what we celebrate and partake of. We come here and as you hold the cracker and you hold the juice, you're reminded of what Jesus did for you. And you're reminded of his sacrifice. And his sacrifice has done what? It's made you new. His sacrifice has done what? It's removed your old. His sacrifice has done what? He's given you everlasting life. Jesus called us to remember him in communion, to partake of these elements and to do it often. He says, do it often and we remember his body that was broken, his blood was shed. And he said that I will not partake of this meal until I do in the kingdom. There's even a future look that, guess what? You can look at your past and see it's no longer haunting. You're forgiven. You can look at your present, I am a new creation in Christ, and you can look at your future when really all things will be made completely new. Jesus gives us this meal to let you know that God has worked in your past, he's working in your present, and he will still be at work in your future. And so as we get ready to continue in worship, and we get ready to continue in celebration, there's some things you should begin to examine and look in your life. Have you become a new creation in Christ? Have you realized that the old things have passed away? Have you maybe this week in a moment of weakness allowed the old things to creep back in and you need to take it to the cross and ask the Lord for forgiveness? Are you even right with the Lord? Remember I told you this is a family meal. It's also a meal in which we have to examine ourselves. We don't just look at it and go, oh, yeah, it's a cracker and put it down. But rather, as we hold it, we more examine ourselves. We don't look to make sure that they left the tomato out when we ordered it with no tomato. But rather, no, we look at ourselves and go, wait a minute. Am I right with God to partake of this? Is there sin in my life? And if there is, we seek forgiveness. Am I right with my fellow brothers and sisters? This is one of those meals that it's totally okay to kind of leave it and go and pull somebody aside and go, I've sinned against you, will you forgive me? It's one of those moments that if you're not right with the Lord and you know you need to handle business and you're not able to do it in this moment, it's okay not to partake of it. There's also this truth here that if you come in and you're not right with the Lord and you understand, wait a minute, God can make me a new creation. He can take my past and remove it. He can give me a hope and a future. He can give me eternal life and forgiveness. That tonight you can put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and then you know what? As a family, you can partake in the meal, and we welcome you with open arms into the body of Christ. And so let's take a moment and let's bow before the Lord and let's examine ourselves. Let's see where we're at. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to encourage you with what Paul said just prior to verse 17. He says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." As we in this moment begin to examine ourselves, we know that we are all set on a path of destruction. We all know that we will one day die, but do you know and are you taking into consideration that Christ died for all to give life? That Christ not only died, but he rose again. In rising again, he has promised to return for his people someday, where we will dine with him and be with him for eternity. I ask, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if the realization of your past, even your present behavior, has brought a condemnation or a guilt upon you and you want forgiveness, you realize tonight in these moments that, wow, Jesus died for me. He can make me new. He can remove my old. He died in your place, and you want forgiveness. And you want to be a new creation in Christ, confessing your sin and believing in him. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. For those of you that raised your hand, I want you to take a moment and go before the Lord and confess your wrong, but also confess what Jesus has done. Acknowledge with your mouth what you are believing in your heart, that Jesus died for your wrong, that he rose again, and that he will forgive you as you turn from your way of living to live for him. Pray with me, dear Lord, I know that I've wronged you. I've sinned. But I know, Father, that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus. As I confess my sin, asking you to forgive me, I also confess that I believe in you and surrender to you. Help me, Lord, to turn from my way of living and to live for you. I ask, God, that you would strengthen me as I live for you, and thank you that I can partake of this meal as a part of God's family. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for those that raised their hand. I thank you, Lord, now that we have more that are able to partake of this family meal, that God, you and your angels in heaven are rejoicing over a sinner that comes to repentance, over someone that confesses their sins and turns from them and believes in you. And Lord, may we partake of this, examining ourselves, but also celebrating what you have done and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.